The message you're about to listen to is from the altar of Impact House International Church. Stay blessed as you listen.
The topic again is Lifestyles for a Better Family Life, Part 2. Lifestyle for a Better Family Life, Part 2. Praise the Lord. I said, praise the Lord. In the first service, you know, Pastor Musimi made us understand that families is meant to be a place of joy and a place of peace. That is not supposed to be a place of tear, weeping, and sorrow. It's not supposed to be a place of tears, weeping, and sorrow. So if you have any family that, you know, what you can see there is weeping, tears, and sorrow, then something has gone wrong. Because the original plan of God is that families will be a place of peace and joy. And he expressed it to us in Jeremiah 29 verse 11 that my thought for you is not the thought of peace. I mean, it's not the thought of, you know, evil, but of peace. Say, for I know the thought that I think so, what do you see the Lord? Thought of peace and not of evil. So give you an expectant hand. So we can see that God said, the thought I have in mind for you is a thought of peace. And because he's the one that actually originates marriage and family, therefore, the thought of peace is also, or the plan of peace is also embedded in the family and in homes. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Also in Ecclesiastes chapter 9, verse 9, it said, live joyfully with the wife whom thou lovest. So, when you are a man and you have a wife, or you are a woman and you have a husband, God says, live joyfully. So therefore, in a home, what should be there is joy, peace. Somebody say joy. Somebody say peace. Again, say peace, joy. Say joy, peace. That is what God wants for our family. It shouldn't be a place of rancor. It shouldn't be a battleground where winners is going to be, you know, determined by how strong you are, how strong-willed you are, or how strong physically you are, or how strong resources you are. Praise the Lord. And the first service, Pastor may also understand what God created family to be. I wish we can replay this message again. I also bless, you know, in the first service. I wish we can replay it for the second service. Praise the Lord. It made us understand. And if you are not married, I mean, this is your golden opportunity. This is a message that you need to listen to again and again and again and again and again. And if you are married, whoa, what a blessing. That you can listen to this message again and then make adjustments and run with it. But for the benefit of those who may know in the first service, let me just quickly do a rundown so that you will not miss out. Thank God that you are here. Praise the Lord. Okay, the first one is a place of rest. A place of rest. In other words, in a family, to be a place of rest, not a place of, you know, war, not a place of rancor. Everybody in the house must have rest. Number two is a place of good things. The Bible said that two is better than one. It said two is better than one. That is what God says. And then in Genesis 2, verse 18, God blessed the family and said, be fruitful. So good things will be coming. Good things will be, you know, happening in the home. Number three, number four, a place of peace. Like I've said, a place of peace. That if there is peace and tranquility. And I used to say that peace is not the absence of trouble. No. Peace is not the absence of trouble. Peace is being calm even in the face of trouble. There is trouble, but you are still calm. You still maintain your composure. You don't lose your guard. Because God actually did not promise us that there will not be trouble. In fact, what he says is that if the righteous fall seven times and he rise again. So if the righteous fall, so and not one, not two, not three, seven times and he rise again. So that doesn't mean that God is clear in his communication to us that life is not bed of roses. It's not, there is no challenge free zone, like my pastor will always say. Praise the Lord. Number five is a place of support and synergy. In other words, a place of collaboration, a place of cooperation, a place of doing things together. Husband and wife join resources together to make something worthwhile, to do something great. A wife, I'm of the opinion that the wife should not keep a separate account or be doing the project that the husband did not know about. Neither should the husband be doing a project that the wife doesn't know anything about. Praise the Lord. Because it should be, you know, you see, these are things that actually, you know, enhance bonding. But that you can do things together, enhance bonding, encourage openness. It makes things faster. It makes you achieve greatness. Even if the woman or the man does not have the money, the same you have, even the moral support is enough. That somebody can pat your back and say, Oni, I'm with you in this project. Say, oh, have you called the preclear that they need to work? And how about this thing? Okay, let me go and supervise. Oh, let me go and check this. Let me go. You know, it's part of it. Praise the Lord. The next one is a place of prosperity and abundance. And number eight, a place of pleasures and the procreation. See, the family that God asks us to be fruitful. And a lifestyle for a better family. Lifestyle for a better family. Number one, a lifestyle of right attitude. Right attitude. And Pastor said, he told us that attitude is what determines your attitude. If you have the correct attitude about money, about your wife, your children, I mean, everything. Number two, lifestyles of humility. We should be humble. To be humble. Praise the Lord. Irrespective of your qualification. To be humble. Irrespective of your position. Be humble. You as a wife might be a boss in your office, but please, when you are coming home, you have another boss in that home. Don't play bossy in your home. Don't play bossy in your home. You know, he shared a story of a woman that have PhD. I also have a similar story of in this particular city. I heard of a story of this particular city, a woman whose husband was a vulcanizer around the Taiwo side. Man was doing vulcanizing, he's a vulcanizer. And the woman happens to be one of the lecturers in one of the institutions in this city. And this woman, as we are told, at that time, had a PhD. The man was doing organizing, and the woman was doing nurturing, and he's collecting big money. But now the man is not doing organizer again. I think he's selling tires now, and he's doing it big. And yet, the woman was so humbled. You will never know. You will never know. They ride the same car. Praise the Lord. Let's learn to be humble. Let us learn to be humble. Let's learn to be humble. Pride kills. The Bible says that pride grows before what? Destructions. Anytime you see in your life, these are some of the things you should watch out for, because when devil wants to destroy you, he plants a seed of pride in you. Once devil can plant pride in you, he has gotten you. He has gotten you, because he knows that is what will destroy you. It's like an atomic bomb you keep in your pocket. Like a time bomb that you keep in your pocket. You don't have to be, just go and watch and be waiting for explosion. When you have an atomic bomb, place it somewhere, you don't have to go and be speaking in tongues. Oh yeah, explode. No, because you know that thing will explode and it will kill, will destroy. That, the same thing, in spiritually, pride is like atomic bomb. If devil can successfully implant it in anyone's life, he has gotten that person, because you know that. So you should watch out for the seed of pride in you. Once you notice that is pride, check yourself. Go and fast. Pray. Pray. Because destruction is knocking at the door. You will not be destroyed in the name of Jesus. Your home will not be destroyed in the name of Jesus. Your life will not be destroyed in the name of Jesus. And number three, it talks about lifestyles of prayer. Lifestyles of prayer. And then number four, lifestyles. The lifestyles of service to your family. Serve your family. Provide for your family. Help each other. There is nothing wrong for a man to assist his wife to wash her clothes. There is nothing wrong. I jumped into a conversation. Some people, some guys, they were discussing. And then they said something that, you know, needed me to, you know, submit my own contribution. And then he said, why will a man will be washing, you know, his wife's undies? And when I heard that, and I said, what is wrong in your wife's undies? So my wife, I will now be carrying it. And I asked a question, okay, if you want to do that thing, do you help her to undress? So what is different? This time around, you help her to undress, you put it somewhere, but now you help her, you put it in water for it to be clean, to be neat, so that the next time you can help to remove that thing again. So what is the difference? Praise the Lord. There is nothing wrong. Help your wife. Help your wife. Help her mop. Help her wash. Help her clean. Help her arrange her dresses. Help her iron her dresses. This is very important. Praise the Lord. The next one is that a lifestyle of service to God. It's beautiful when husband and wife is serving God together. It's beautiful. There is nothing that can be compared to it. So husband and wife and family and everyone in your household should strive to serve God together. I mean, that is the purpose and plan of God. Remember what God said about Abraham? He said, I know him. He said, I know him, that he will command his household. I mean, this is look at the level of trust that God has for this man, Abraham. He said, this man, I know him. That he will command his household to serve the Lord. And he did. More than 300 trained servants, Bible says, in his house. All of them are serving the Lord. Praise the Lord. What a great man he was. Praise the Lord. You are the next great man and woman in the name of Jesus. And then lastly, number six is the lifestyle of wisdom. Lifestyles of wisdom. Lifestyles of wisdom. And pastor encouraged us to get wisdom. Get wisdom for everything. The next one, number seven, where we start from this second service, is similar to wisdom. It's the lifestyles of learning. Lifestyles of what? Lifestyles of what? Lifestyles of learning. Let's cultivate a lifestyle of learning. Learning is so important in life. If you want a better family life, you must keep learning. You must keep learning. Don't stop at what your parents taught you. Learning should not stop because you are married. Learn to be a better person. Learn to be a better wife. Learn to be a better husband. Learn to be a better Christian. If you will learn to be a better Christian, it will affect your home. It will affect your family. I want to be a Christian, true Christian. I'm telling you, I want to live my life on the word of God. This is what will make your family better. Because as you get better, your family will be better. Somebody shout hallelujah. This is very, very, very important. Never at any time think that you know all about families and marriage. Never. Don't ever think that you know all about family or about marriage. The more you learn, the more your family life will become. The better your family life will become. Learn. Keep learning about your wife. Who is she? Let me tell you. That lady that you knew when she was single is different for a woman when she become married. She's different when she start giving birth. Because things have changed in her. Learn. Okay, she was a dancer when I married her. You even think you know her. The truth of the matter is that you did not. You think you know him. The truth of the matter, you did not. Because you can't know him all. As you think that you know, it changes another face. When you marry, in fact, and God bless you, the woman get pregnant, something has changed about her. Her behavior has changed. So you thought you have known all about her behavior, but there's some certain thing, certain reaction in her that triggers some reactions, that triggers some behaviors. Suddenly you see her getting moody. Suddenly you see her crying. She cooked, but she couldn't eat again. And you are like, okay. You say, okay, what do you want to eat? Get me so kind of rice. You know the type of rice that we have in town. And then you pick your key, you drove there, you kill. And then you got the rice. You hope that, wow, my wife will like it. Only for you to to take the rice home. You give her. She took one spoon. She's not eating again. And you are like, ah. So, ah. That is why, you know, if care is not taken, you will think that it's because I over pamper you. That is what you would think. You think, okay, that is why most men, they don't care for their wife. It's not your fault. It's not your fault. No, it's not our fault. True. It's not our fault. It was you. It was your fault. Because it was you that planted something in her. Praise the Lord. If perhaps you did not plant something in her, she will not react like that. So the learning process is a gradual process. My pastor will always say that the rooms that never get filled is the room for improvement. Is the room for improvement. Then, you know, God was confronting the nation of Israel in Isaiah chapter 1. I mean, please let's open to Isaiah chapter 1. In Isaiah chapter 1, and let's start from verse 10. Isaiah chapter 1, verse 10. The Bible says, we are going to verse 17, but I would like us to read it in context. Verse 10, hear the word of the Lord, ye rulers of Sodom, give ear unto the law of our God, ye people of Gomorrah. To what purpose is the multitude of your sacrifice unto me, saith the Lord? I am full of the burnt offering of rams, and the fat of the fed beast, and I delight not in the blood of bullock, or of lambs, or of e-goats. When you come to appear before me, who had required this at your hand, to train my court, bring no more vain oblation. Incense is an abomination unto me. The new moon and Sabbath, the calling of assembly, I cannot away with. It is iniquity, even the solemn meeting. Your new moons and your appointed feast, my soul ate. They are a trouble unto me. I am weary to bear them. And when you spread forth your hand, I will hide my eyes from you. Yea, when you make many prayers, I will not hear. Your hand are full of blood. Number verse 16 says, wash you, make you clean. Put away evil of your doing from before my eyes. Cease to do evil. Can you tell somebody, cease to do evil? Say, cease to do evil. Maltreating your wife is evil. Tell him, maltreating your wife is evil. Maltreating your husband is evil. Maltreating that young girl is evil. Maltreating that young man is evil. Now, verse 17, this is now verse 17 that I'm going. He said, learn to do well. The New King James said, learn to do good. Learn to do well. Learn to do well. Seek judgment. Seek judgment. Relieve the oppressed. Judge the fatherless. Plead the widow. The first phrase of verse 17 says, learn to do well. Learn to do good. Brother and sister, your doing good in life is based on learning. Your doing good in life is based on learning. According to this scripture, he said, learn to do good. If you want to be a good husband, a good wife, the Bible says, learn. 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 Learn to, you may not be master of all, but at least know little things about everything. Know little things about everything. So that you can communicate. So that you can relate. So that you can interact. So that you can love each other the more. Learning what triggers his anger. What gets him talking. What makes her happy. What makes her freely give herself to me. Learn it. These are things you learn. There are things we learn by reading books. Daniel chapter 9, verse 2. Daniel said, in the fourth year of his reign, I, Daniel, understood by what? By books. It is not book. By books. By books. See, I understand the number of the year when the word of the Lord came to Jeremiah the prophet that he will accomplish 70 years in the desert, desolations of Jerusalem. It was written, God wrote it many, many years ago. 70 years. God, if you're going to read and research and read, and he now understood. Okay, now I got it now. I got the plan and the purpose of God. It is why, you know, God's servant wrote a book about family. Why? What stops you from buying those books, read it again and again, listening to messages, reading true books, proven author. I'm not talking of all those nonsense books. Find people whose God's spirit dwell, buy their books, read it, and then put it to practice. That things we learn by observation. Observed. How does he behave? How does he move? How does he want me to dress? Okay, you put on something, and then you ask your husband or your wife, your husband, am I looking good? Because he doesn't want to haunt your emotion, she will tell you that it's okay. But can you read countenance? Can you read countenance? If you put on a certain dress, what is his reactions to you? When you put on another one, what is the reactions to you? These are things you do by observation. These are things, okay, in his comments, in his talking, in his discussions, what are the things you pick? Don't just hear. You hear for the purpose of understanding, for the purpose of knowing. When a man keeps complaining about you, a woman keeps complaining about you, it speaks volume that there is something to be changed in you. There's something that has to do with your attitude or your behavior that needs to be changed. Then you should know about it. This is a woman that every time you she loves you, she loves to be around you, but suddenly there is somehow a distance. Then you should know that something is going wrong. What stops you from asking her, have I done something wrong? Have I done something wrong? Do you want me to change something? Do you want me to stop something? Let us learn. Learn by observation. Learn by association. By walking close to others. I pray that the Lord will bless us and make our family a better family in the name of Jesus. Learn. Let us seek to learn. Learning is very important. This is one of the things that I've seen in the life of our pastor. God's servant is a man that loves learning. He's a man that loves reading. You know, even in some professions, you see them, they make a matter of learning a compulsory. Example of them is Nigerian Nursing and Midwifery, you know, councils of Nigeria. They have a course that they do. They make it so compulsory. They call it mandatory continuous professional development program. What got my attention is the word mandatory. They say mandatory and compulsory. They say mandatory continuous. I just use them as an example. There are many professions like that. In banking, we have them in accounting. It's a continuous learning because they believe that learning is continuous. They say this thing, if you want to continue to be a nurse or to be accountant, you must undergo this mandatory continuing professional development program. Because they deal with life. Okay, how about family? In family, we deal with life. It's you and your wife and your children and your household. So why can't what stop you from learning? Place yourself on a course that I call mandatory family, mandatory continuous family program. That you will upgrade your mind, upgrade your thinking, upgrade your knowledge. You see, the secret of learning is to learn, unlearn, and relearn. You learn, you unlearn, and you relearn. Why is that important? It's important because the first learning might be maybe GNS 101. Understand? But that is 102. That is 201. That is an upgrade of what you learn. Praise the Lord. Because what you learn at first might not be continued. It might just be a glimpse of the whole sum of what is needed to be taught. And then it might even be a wrong thing. For example, now somebody may learn unconsciously, maybe in your family you just learn that, like a story that pastor will always say, that somebody said, I've never seen my father giving my mom money. Do you remember that story? Okay. Now, if a young man is growing up in that family or in that home, he will learn unconsciously that men don't give their wives money. But if you now come to a place of maturity like this and you hear words like this, then you have learned that man does not give their wife money. But now, so you have to unlearn that. You have to unlearn it and then you relearn. Somebody shout hallelujah. Number eight is a lifestyle of faithfulness. Lifestyles of faithfulness. Faithfulness is vital if you want your family to get better. Your family will be better in the name of Jesus. I say your family will be better in the name of Jesus. Okay, if you are not saying amen, my family will be better in the name of Jesus. Unfaithfulness, brother and sister, is what births distrust. Unfaithfulness is what births distrust. And destroys is what kills love. Destroys is what kills love. Naturally, women are jealous. But naturally, men are more jealous. We hide it to you that we are jealous. But the truth of the matter is that our jealousy is 100 times than you. I'm telling you the truth. I'm telling you. It is why your husband will always tell you not to call your ex. That's the reason. It's jealousy. Nothing but jealousy. Nothing. It is why he will tell you, who are you talking to? Nothing but jealousy. Nothing but jealousy. I'm telling you. That's the truth. It might even be the reason why he's preventing some certain friends from coming around you. It might even be the reason why your male friends is no longer your friend again. It might be jealousy. That's the truth. And you see, jealousy is another form of love. It's just love in the extreme opposite. Jealousy is love in extreme opposite. Praise the Lord. And God does not encourage us to be jealous. Hallelujah. See, unfaithfulness kills love. It becomes hard for women to find out that her husband is having a side chick. It becomes hard for such a woman to love you the way she wanted. You make it hard for her to love you the way she would have wanted to love you. You make it hard to respect you. You make it hard to trust you. You cost it. Unfaithfulness. Once, I'm an advocate that once you are married, every other woman became other women. Whether she's thin, whether she's fat, whether she have it good and in her back, or she have it good in her front, it has become vanity upon vanity, all is what? Because you see others before you pick her. Is that not true? Okay, so how come that when you pick her now, you now say she's no more beautiful? Something is wrong with your brain. Something is wrong with your brain. Even if they force out on you, you don't have the liver to say no. Once you have said yes, whether consciously or cautiously, leave other ladies alone. Let them be. There is another man that is looking for them. The same thing also goes with ladies. Once a man is married, leave him alone. Leave him alone. Leave him. Let him continue with his life. Leave him. What is there? Okay, tell me, what is there? What do you need that no other man cannot give you? Is it what he carries as a man, or is it what is inside his pocket? What do you need that no other man has? Leave him alone. Whether it's your ex, whether it's your colleagues, whether it's your friend, once he's married, let him enjoy his family. Leave him alone. If he's the one troubling you, go and report him to people that will talk to his senses. In fact, you can go to the police and say, "That is a man after my life." Yes. He's married and he's after my life. She wants to destroy my life. He wants to destroy my life. This thing is very important because, you see, I think I've said it before, that, you know, when you commit fornication, it's you know, Bible says that for this purpose, so a man leave his family. Father, most people will say something in that first service. Ah, if you are not in the first service, you miss. Praise the Lord. Please get the tape. Okay, so at this purpose, the man will leave his wife, his family, his father and mother, and then will cleave to his wife. And Bible says something, and said the two shall become what? One flesh. Come on, come to think about it. Why will two people become one flesh? Remember, the Bible did not say the two of them will become one spirit. It said they become one flesh. One flesh. One flesh. In other words, one body. What makes it possible? What do you think makes it possible? And the Bible also says that he that, you know, commit adultery with an harlot, he said, is what? One spirit with him. What make it possible? Nothing make it possible but sex. Nothing make it possible but sex. When there is intercourse, and that's the reason why that boy that cheated on you, that's the reason why you still remembering him. That's the reason why you're still remembering him. That's the reason now. Is it because you have not seen any young man, fine, handsome, dark, and handsome, with six packs, with all their chest out, and is it because you have not seen any? No. No. It is why you find it hard to break away from him. Because by the reason of intercourse, you have become one flesh, you have become one spirit. And I just remember I said that in the spirit realm, the passing of spirit to another is not half-half. It's what? It's complete. It's complete. It's 100%, not 50-50. It's 100%. So if the lady has the spirit of death pursuing her, and then you as a man, you saw a nice girl, a beautiful girl with all the beautiful things that your carnal mind is telling you, the moment you sleep with him, that spirit of death has become part of you. It is why most men die cheaply like chicken. I love Proverbs. In Proverbs chapter 6 verse 32, he said, "But whosoever committed adultery with a woman lack what?" Lack what? Can I hear you? Lack what? "And he that doeth," do what? "He that doeth it destroys his own soul." Let me read it in contemporary English version. "But if you go to bed with another man's wife, you will destroy yourself by your own stupidity." Say, so you will destroy yourself by your own stupidity. The message translation said it. He said, "Adultery is a brainless act." You know when they say you don't have brain? That is adultery. He said, you don't think. You know, the greatest abuse is that you say adultery is a brainless act. Look at it. Soul destroying. Self destructive. So do it you destroy your soul, you destroy yourself. You will not destroy your life in Jesus' name. You will not destroy yourself in the name of Jesus. If there is anyone be tormented by the spirit of fornication or adultery, today you are set free in the name of Jesus. I say today you are set free in the name of Jesus. May you hate fornication and adultery in the name of Jesus. Perhaps it's your husband that is doing it. Today he will forsake it in the name of Jesus. When next he tried to do it, his Mr. Man will not say hello in the name of Jesus. I say when next he tried to do it, his Mr. Man will not say hello in the name of Jesus. And if it is your wife that is doing it, he will lose affection in the name of Jesus. Say powerful amen. For the sake of your children, don't destroy yourself through adultery. Don't destroy your family. The next one is lifestyles of pleasant surprises. Lifestyles of pleasant surprises. Learn to give each other gifts. Surprise each other. Help each other. You know, compete to surprise each other. Buy gifts. Some people are good in giving gifts. Some are not good in giving gifts. But it can be learned. It can be learned. You know, some of us, we find it hard. When you want to buy something, we want to get something that, you know, you valued. You will think that, oh, yes, you appreciate this thing. You understand? And it might be expensive. But see, sometimes what people appreciate the most is not what is most expensive. It might be something that is timely. It might be small, but it's timely. Let us learn. Give gifts. Surprise each other. Things that your wife never thought that you can help her do. Do it for her. Surprise her. You've been coming home late. You've been coming home late. She'll be coming home late. One day, surprise her. Get home before her and stay home for that day. Let us learn to, you know, this is things that will help our family. Don't take each other for granted. Just because you are successful. You see, the wisdom that takes a man to woo a woman is not enough. It's not enough to sustain you throughout your married life. It's not enough. To get a woman to say, okay, I love you back. It's more, it's very simple. Very simple. Now, another wisdom to tell a man, now I'm ready, I want to marry you. At home, it's also different. Now you have gotten her, she's at home. The wisdom you need for her to forever stay with you and to enjoy you and for you to enjoy her, is an upgrade of wisdom. It's an upgrade of wisdom. Don't just be spending for that girl, be spending for those that have not married, be spending because I just want to get her. Let her just, you know, and you are doing that. Fine, it's good, thank God. But once you have done that and you've got her, you will have to keep doing those things. Because you see, a day will come, she will confront you with reality. And this is what she will tell you. I know that you don't love me. Women, am I saying the truth? Okay, let me say something on that statement. You see, the way men process, understand, is different from women, right? Men, let me give you an expo. So one day, your wife, if your wife have not said that to you, she will say it to you one day. Or every woman says that. And there are reasons for that. You know, when a woman, your wife, now tell you, I know you don't love me. Sometimes that can trigger anger in us. Because you don't expect such. You are sacrificing, you are, you know, do all you can. But she said, I know you don't love me. I don't know how it sounds, but it sounds like an alarm. But see, instead of making, for that statement to trigger anger in you, you know what she wants? What she wants is your reassurance of love to her. Perhaps she felt that you have not been doing what you used to do. So when she said, I'll call her, honey, I want you to know that I love you with the whole of my heart. No other person, no anything in this world can take your place in my heart. And then after you have said that, don't just let it be word of mouth. Do something. Because what he's saying is that you have not been doing some things. Do something now. Give me money. Give me money. I need money. Change my wardrobe. I need my clothes is wearing out. I want to wear new clothes. I don't want to be asking you and give me money for my gift. One day, surprise me, send money to my account, beam, let it land. that is what I want. That's what I know. Women are expensive. Oh. They need money. I'm telling you, they need money. A friend was telling me, say, man of God, you don't know. I bought a boxer. I just realized that it's 3 years that I've been wearing that boxer. And I said something, I said, man of God, I hope your wife is not wearing her pants for 3 years. Praise the Lord. I hope I've not said something that I've not said, that I'm not supposed to say, yeah? Okay, hope I've not said something that I'm not supposed to say. All right, so praise the Lord. Women are expensive. When your hair is gray, you get to Baba with 500, you get it done. But 500 now does not buy attachments. It doesn't buy one. They need many to do it, to fix it. Things are expensive now. After they buy this, they will buy cream, they will buy Reaxa, they will buy everything. They will pay the person that will fix it. They have perfume also to fill into it. You don't use perfume to put on it. Praise the Lord. So give them money once a while. If you have a man beside you, say, man. Say, man. You better get money. Men, women are expensive. Oh. Number 10 is love. Love. Wow, my time is fast spent. Love. Colossians chapter 3, verse 14. Say, but love, the Colossians chapter 3, verse 14. Say, and above all these things, put on charity, which is love. And in answer, this love is the bond of perfection. What will perfect everything in your family, say, is love. Your children should know beyond reasonable doubt that you love their mother. Hey, man. New pastor was saying in the first service that women, if you are doing gara-gara for your wife, say, I pity you. Because a day will come, she will leave you and go and do omungo. And God bless her. You are the one that life baby. So you give back to two, back to three, big back to four. And then you are doing gara-gara for your wife, Abby. I pity you. I pity you. I pity you. You know, if you don't take care of your wife, may all your effort never go in vain in Jesus' name. But what is the use for you striving and paying school fees, you know, paying house rents, put food on your table, but you don't love their mother? That if care is not taken, that would be wasted investment. If you want to, you don't want to suffer, Mr. Man, if you want to, you don't want to suffer in your old age, you better take care of your wife. And let your children know that you love your wife, their mother. Let them know. If your wife is instigating your children against you, you are doomed. You are doomed. You are doomed. May you not be destroyed in the name of Jesus. For any family to get better, love is necessary. Number 11, lifestyles of forgiveness. Lifestyles of forgiveness. That Colossians chapter 3, let's read from verse 12 to 13. Put on, therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, bearers of mercies, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, not sovereign. Now, verse 13. Forbearing one another and forgiving one another. If any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, you also do ye. So also do ye. If you have any quarrel with your wife, any misunderstanding, you better settle it. Forgive each other. You know, the last time I paid house rent for my former landlord, I went there to go and give them their elderly people and to give them money. And that day, not knowing that was their marriage anniversary. So I was there as we talked, they talked to me as, you know, their children, their sons, and we discussed after the whole thing that I want to leave. I said, Pastor, please, pray for us. Said today is our 57th years of marriage. When I heard, I said, 57 years of marriage. Wow. I said, Mommy, I will pray for you. But after I pray for you, you also will pray for me. Praise the Lord. And you also will pray for me. After the prayer, I saw another seed. Because me, I love that. When I see elderly people still married, still together, I love to sow. So after I do, and you should do as a single man and woman, you should do and sow seed for your future. So after everything, and this 57 years of your marriage, how has it been? The woman look at me, Pastor, adupe lowo Olorun. Adupe lowo Olorun. Say iji to ja wa ni kin so ni abi kin, that is it the challenges that face us to life. And you know, they are doing well. Their family, their children, two of their children is outside of the country. All right, but he said, but in all this, we stood together. Say, in all the troubles, we stood together as one. And I said, we forgave each other. When I heard that, I said, yeah, that's the secret. Forgive each other. Your husband will offend you. Your wife will offend you. Forgive. Well, if you are husband and wife, there is no amount of offense or mistakes that your wife or your spouse might commit that you cannot forgive. Forgive. The spirit of forgiveness, the Lord will give you in the name of Jesus. You know that, I think last week, one of our fathers in the faith, Kenneth and Gloria Copeland, celebrated their 60 years of marriage. 60 years of marriage. And both of them are together, strong and healthy, happy, joy, peace in their home. That their children is in the ministry, their grandchildren is also in the ministry. That will be your testimonies in the name of Jesus. Lastly, number 12, lifestyles of gratitude. Lifestyles of gratitude. Always be grateful for whatever is done for you. That Colossians chapter 3, verse 15. Colossians chapter 3, verse 15. It says, and let the peace of God rule in your heart. To the which also ye are called in one body, and be ye what? Thankful. Appreciate God that woman is your wife. Appreciate God that man is your husband. Appreciate God that you have a family. Appreciate God. Be thankful. Appreciate little things that he or she do for you. Be grateful. Stop complaining. The little money that he or she is giving you, appreciate it. Live a life of gratitude. Living a life of gratitude, brother, will make you to enjoy your family. Nobody wants to live with an ungrateful person. No one. So therefore, be grateful to God. Be thankful to God. Also, appreciate your spouse, your family, and all that God is using or is giving you, or those that God is using to bless you are to be appreciated. Appreciate them. Let us learn to say thank you. Let us learn to say thank you for everything that is done to us. Let us learn to say thank you. And I pray that in the name of Jesus, the name that is above every other name, no family will be scattered in the name of Jesus. I say your family will not be scattered in the name of Jesus. Perhaps there is a challenge you are facing in your home. I decree that God will intervene in this service today, and it will make your family to be a better family in the name of Jesus. Say a very powerful amen.
Wow! I know you must have been blessed by this message. Please feel free to worship with us at Impact House International Church, Praise Tabernacle, along Pipeline Road, Ilorin. For more inquiries, you can call 081-086-78878 or visit our website www.impacthouseinternationalchurch.org.